Have you ever felt that God simply cannot accept you because of the wrong things you've done? Marvin Moore explains the Bible's solution to that problem. Your narrator is Calvin Follett. Susan dropped to her knees and rested her elbows on the sofa.
"Oh, God,"
she wept.
"I've done it again. A whole box of chocolates. And all at one time. How can you ever forgive me?"
Michael sat by the desk in his small home office, rubbing his forehead.
"God, I promised Kathy I'd hold my temper. You know I meant it. I love her. And I hate myself for yelling at her this evening. If I can't stop, I'm afraid she'll leave me."
He paused.
"And you? Well, I don't see how you can accept me."
The old man tugged on the weathered church door. Once inside, he stumbled down the aisle. At the altar, he threw himself on the floor and beat the boards with his hands.
"Jesus, Son of God,"
he cried.
"That cursed tavern. Another drink. How can I call myself a Christian?"
Is this your story? It happens thousands of times a day to people all over the world. It has happened to me before. It has happened to you. Maybe just today we vow to overcome our temptations, but they get the best of us, and we feel horribly condemned and unacceptable to God. If you're honest, this is your story. So what's the answer? Is there an answer? In our worst moments, we fear it's no. I have good news for you. Once you've confessed your sin, the answer is yes. Listen to what Paul said. "If God is for us, who can be against us? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns?" Romans 8:31-34. God is on your side. "But look what I've done," you protest. "How can God be on my side?" That question might make sense if you read only the first sentence in that text I just quoted. But look at the next two sentences. "It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns?" Do you feel condemned? Paul said, "It is God who justifies," and that's the solution to all the condemnation that Susan, Michael, and the old man, and you and I experience from time to time. So what is justification? The Greek word for justification means to declare righteous. A good example is the prisoner who receives a pardon from the governor. He's now righteous in the eyes of the law, but because he never violated the law, but because the state has declared him to be innocent of his crime. Similarly, God has declared you and me to be righteous, free from all sin in his eyes. Read what Paul said. "No one will be declared righteous in God's sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. But now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known." Romans 3:20-21. Two thoughts stand out in these verses. The first is that you and I cannot be justified or declared righteous in God's sight by our obedience. Regardless of how faithfully we try to keep the law, which is in the broadest sense is all the moral instruction in the Bible, we can't make ourselves good enough to be acceptable to God. So what's God's solution? That's the second thought. He provides the righteousness we need to stand innocent in his presence. Paul explained this even more clearly in Philippians 3:9. He said he wanted to be found in Christ, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. In another place, Paul said, "I know that nothing good lives in me," Romans 7:18. He meant that he couldn't possibly keep the law well enough to make himself acceptable to God. The only solution was for God to give him his righteousness, what Paul called the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Jesus illustrated this in his parable of the prodigal son. A young man demanded his share of the inheritance, and when he received it, he went off to a distant country and spent it on wild living. His money ran out one day, though, and he was forced to herd pigs for a living. At this point, he realized what a fool he'd been. He resolved to return to his father and ask to be taken in as a hired servant. However, his father ran to meet him, put on the family's best robe over his shoulders, and threw a huge party for him. And the Bible doesn't say that the father asked the son to take a bath before putting on the family's best robe. No, the robe went right over the dirty clothes. That's how God treats you and me when we come to him. He gives us his righteousness to cover our sinfulness. We can say that he covers us with the robe of his righteousness, And when he does this in his sight, you and I are innocent of all wrongdoing. So, what is righteousness? In both Romans and Philippians, Paul said, "This righteousness comes from God," Romans 3:21 and Philippians 3, verse 9. It's his righteousness attributed to you and me as though it were our own. I purpose, however, that God actually gives us Christ's righteousness. Listen to these words from 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us the wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness. Jesus lived a perfect life while on earth, 2 Corinthians 5:21, and now he takes our sins and gives us his righteousness. Ellen White stated it succinctly. Christ was treated as we deserve, that we might be treated as he deserves. He was condemned for our sins, in which he had no share, that we might be justified by his righteousness, in which we had no share. By his perfect life on this earth, Jesus earned merit, righteousness, goodness, if you please. That's available to you and me right now. His holy life becomes your holy life when you accept him as your Savior. And here's the good news. This righteousness is for bad people. Good people wouldn't need it. So the more sinful you are, the more you qualify to receive Christ's righteousness. All you have to do is ask for it. Say this prayer next time you feel guilty over something that you did. God, I just sinned, but you've offered to give me Christ's righteousness as if it were my own. Thank you for this gift. I accept it. When you say this prayer, you stand perfectly innocent in God's sight, just as if you'd never sinned. You don't need to feel condemned a moment longer, because God can't condemn someone whom he views as having never sinned. And remember this, the more sinful you are, the more you qualify to receive this gift. That's the solution to condemnation that Susan and Michael and the old man at the beginning of this article felt. It's the solution to the condemnation you feel when you sin. So claim it.